Hello, Ballers. Welcome back to our latest episode of Ballers in Pajamas. We have a new CL match day 3 coming up. And quickly, we'll brief up what happened on the match day 2. We had some really, really interesting games, really talking points. Lionel Messi finally getting on the score sheet for Paris Saint-Germain against a big oil money club, Manchester City. Mm-hmm. It was a very amazing game and a comfortable win, I guess, for PSG. You can say Liverpool thrashing Porto by 5-1. Atletico AC Milan was another quite an eventful contest. And Atletico snatching the win very, very late into the game. Dortmund winning a game very narrowly by a 2-0 against Sporting Lisbon. And the talk of the point was Barcelona losing to Benfica. I mean, kind of a miserable performance again, and adding more pressure to Ronald Koeman. And Ronaldo's late shirtless celebration, of course, at Old Trafford, which counted something at least to a disastrous start to the season. So let's talk about match day 3. We have some interesting games coming up this week, and it'll be really an exciting watch. We'll talk of the first interesting game, the most interesting game, Atletico de Madrid versus Liverpool. So Lokesh, what do you think about this fixture? How do you think it'll go against a very defensive Atletico Madrid to a very attacking Liverpool side?
It's a very mouth-watering clash as such, you know. It's like attack versus defense in its purest forms. And both the teams are well set out by the managers. Simeone has been there forever, as far as I can remember, with Atletico. And Klopp has done brilliantly over the past 3-4 years. And Salah is in playing some of his best football, I think, at the moment. He's in very good form. And somehow the team is gelling well for them. There's Sadio Mane who steps up when Salah is not, or there is Roberto Firmino. He got a hat-trick today out of nowhere, you know. And then they've got good bench strength with Jota and Henderson, all of them being there. At the same time, Atletico had a very well-grinded team. And they like absorbing pressure. They're very used to countering opponents' attacks. So it's something that I'm looking forward to very much. It'll be exciting. But I think, as always, you cannot defend for 90 minutes. So you have to attack to win. If not, there will be a chance that goes in. It can be a beautiful goal or it can be a scrappy goal. You don't know, but I think any team will just take it as it comes. And Liverpool are in very good form. And I would be backing them up to win and go through.
So, good point to add it, Lokesh. So, Nihar, so do you think Liverpool can be held off at Atletico? Nihar?
Yeah. So,
should I ask you that question again?
Yeah. I heard what you said. I don't think so. Anyone can stop Liverpool right now, their attack at least. I mean, you can win the game by, you know, scoring 4 against their 3. That's the only way to win right now. I mean, seriously, no one can stop the front 3 of theirs. If you can stop Salah, what about the other 2? About that guy who people don't even bother about including, you know, him into their minds that he's a good player. Firmino, he got a hat trick today. And yeah, but Atletico is like, I don't think so. Atletico is not that forced to be reckoned with. Somehow, I don't know, they got their squad upgraded in a way, but still they started sucking on the field. Actually, they won 4 games in this present season in 2 months after 85th minute. Well, that's a good thing that you're coming back, but still that's a bad sign that you're not able to control the game. Well, against Liverpool, you give 2-3 chances, they'll score 2 goals. So I think Liverpool will run riot. Well, not definitely 5 goals or something, but at least 3-0 or at least 3 goals.
Okay. Forgot to mention, it's Luis Suarez. He might be playing against his former club. That is a very interesting point as well.
Oh, yes. Very interesting point to take in. And considering Atletico are a team who usually don't leak too many goals, I mean, they don't allow. I mean, if you remember the semi-quarterfinal or the semi-final tie also, which happened couple of years back when Atletico faced Liverpool, they won 1-0 at Wanda Metropolitano and they didn't allow Liverpool to break through. But yeah, considering what Nihar is saying, that Liverpool's goal scoring form is very high and Salah is in a very red hot form, but still, Atletico are a team you see who don't usually likes to concede too many goals, more than one or max two they would like to. But they are a team who fights till the end. And now knowing fans are back, I guess they will be all fired up. And they have a very, very pretty balanced squad to match Liverpool's attacking power. So let's move on to the next interesting fixture. I guess it'll be Ajax versus Borussia Dortmund. Both teams have very, very young players, good players, and a very good talented young squad, and it's both having good goal scoring machines. So, Nihar, what do you have to say on this?
Haaland will score, no doubt. Ajax will win again, no doubt.
That was a very picky.
Haaland will score and Ajax will win. Wow.
Yep, Ajax are good systematically, and I think Dortmund will get screwed because they leave a lot many spaces open for the opposition to score. And I think Haller of Ajax literally scored 5 goals till date in UCL in 2 games. That guy is in some form too. But yeah, Haaland is scoring, it's a mandatory thing now. Doesn't matter.
Haaland scoring goals, but it doesn't matter if you leak goals back from the other side
Same thing. Yeah, he scores. Doesn't matter about the defense. He don't care about it too. He just shouts like a line or something.
Coming to the point, Sebastian Haller is a very surprise pick of the tournament so far. He has 6 goals. 6 or 7 goals so far in the two games he's played.
5 games, right? 4 plus 1.
Yeah, 5 goals. 5 goals. Yeah, so in 2 games, that's a very surprise package of the tournament so far. I mean, considering ex-West Ham player, I mean, he was he's not a Finnish player, but end career player of in end days. Like, he was a flop, West Ham flop. So he's coming and scoring bangers. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they handle this team. And they have a very good team. Like, they have Dusan Tadic and they have Alvarez. They have Daily Blind and then they were good. They were good team. They were a good team.
Bro, he's not at the end of his career. He's fucking 27.
I'm not saying he's a West Ham. Yeah, my apologies to that. He was a West Ham United flop. That was my point.
Okay, so in that way, you may be right. Yeah.
He was a West Ham United flop. He was not in the part of a project of David Moyes and he was sold. Yeah, he's making a huge impact now. You can see, and he's the top scorer right now. So it's going to be a good game. Haaland versus Haller. The 2 Halls. Let's see who comes out on top. And going to the next game, I don't consider this as a big game, but still, I will want to talk about it because of the previous match day result of Shakhtar Donetsk versus Real Madrid. And I will obviously want to go to Shubham first after that scary defeat at the Bernabeu at the very end. Usually when it is time when Ramos rises up and scores the winner, but unfortunately it was the other thing which happened, and Sheriff a very team which and the outskirts of Moldova somewhere in East Africa, and they came out and just scored a banger and just took the Bernabeu. So Shubham, what do you have to say about this fixture, Shakhtar versus Real Madrid?
If there's one team I'm really afraid of in this entire tournament, that is Shakhtar Donetsk, bro.
Come
to the Bernabeu and they beat us. No. Porto is for the Champions League. They are the winners. But the one team which I'm really afraid of as a Real Madrid fan is Shakhtar Donetsk. This time we are going to the Donetsk and playing, but whenever they visit us at Bernabeu, we get thrashed like anything. So this has happened 2 or 3 times, and I'm shit scared of that team, and so is Papa Perez as well. So let's hope that does not
Shubham,
happen.
Shubham, I have a doubt. Real Madrid used to trash, Bayern, Juventus, Liverpool, home and away, but fucking lose to Shakhtar and Borussia Mönchengladbach. How? I mean, how do they lose?
Look at the squad now. That is the only thing I can say. Look at the squad back then and look at the squad now. You look at the front runners they had, you look at the midfield and defense they have, and look at the front runners, midfield and defense they have now. It's a major difference, isn't it? It is like talking about prime Barcelona 2011 and 12.
No, even Real won the Barcelona triple plate, right? They finished second in the group stage all the time. They used to lose this either of these German teams.
I mean, somehow they used to had lose players the Ronaldo, Benzema, Bale, they were unstoppable. They had Cruz, like Modric, Casemiro still there. They had Xabi Alonso. They had Arbiola. Who's that guy? They had Ramos, Varane, Pepe, Marcelo, who were in prime. And obviously they had Iker Casillas and Keylor Navas. And they were the
prime. And James Rodriguez.
Obviously, yeah. And then there was James. Whatever. But yeah. And also they had Alvaro Morata. Okay.
Morata was there, yeah. Mariano Diaz is there.
Yeah, exactly. So you can literally compare that kind of a squad to the squad now. I mean, Real Madrid are a team who will just keep dragging themselves for a win rather than first we know what the outcome was really or like. They used to literally crush Bayern Munich and think like they are nobody. Like literally they are nobody. They used to humiliate them every single time they played. Now it is not that thing. Now the sheriff and some other team will come and bloody thrash them and nobody will be even bothered. Arey, bhai, Real Madrid ko to koi bhi hara ke jayega yaar, Champions League mein. Especially at the Bernabeu where people like teams feared the most. It's obviously the squad matters yaar, after all.
So that's what I really back here, Shakhtar, to defeat our team. So,
but still playing away, Real Madrid have done really well. I mean, they have.
Away, mein we can do well, but at home they lose their shit, dude.
Anyway, I've seen like Real play real good football. They hardly even concede playing away, and they held off Inter Milan. And that was a very, 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 very good game. They played and they won at the end, and it was typical Real Madrid way of winning them. And I really expected some sort of a performance, okay, but it was a complete disastrous against Sheriff.
Yeah, but it will be really important for this game will be really important for Inter Milan. So if Shakhtar wins this game, the dynamics will completely change for the group. So if you see, if Shakhtar wins this game, it will be 3 games and yeah, Inter has to open their account. So I mean, this is
Sheriff is leading right now with 2 wins out of 2. That is one that is totally unexpected. With 6 points, Real are on second with really 3 and Inter are 1. Yeah.
This one is important for Inter. The result for themselves plus Shakhtar's result.
Yeah, it's a complete turnaround. Real Madrid going last. Anyway, tragic fix. But another, let's go to, I guess, a final, a big awaited game. And it is should be a very, hopefully, a decent game. Manchester United versus Atalanta at Old Trafford. After a disastrous performance since the last 6-7 games, I guess Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is under major pressure of winning just the last 2-3 games out of the 7. I mean, lost that this all started with. They lost to Young Boys in the opening game of the Champions League. And then Bruno missing that famous penalty against Aston Villa and all disastrous. And after today, ending the unbeaten away run, everything is going down the drain. Lokesh, what do you have to talk about this fixture? I mean, even if even, what is it going to make? Ole in, Ole out?
Oh, no. I've been Ole out since he lost the Europa League. I'm just waiting when it'll happen now. I've had enough of Ole. He's done a good job, right? But I don't think he can do it. He can go to the next level and get the team to win. Because we still see he's gotten a good upgrade on the team. He's gotten Varane. He's gotten Sancho, Ronaldo. And yet he seems to be playing the same formation, the same kind of tactics as such. There's no change as such. And he's wasting the likes of Cavani, who was, spearheading the attack. Even people like, Martial or Rashford, all of them are having to be rotated. But somehow, Van de Beek is just not good enough. I think even if Van de Beek is the last surviving recognized midfielder, Ole will not start him. He can play some other guy in midfield and he'll be like, I've been a sub all my life. He should not complain.
Yeah, that's so, a racist statement though. Anyway.
Exactly. But then the fixture, Atlanta is currently leading the group and they're quite an exciting side. They play pretty attacking football. They're pretty good. And it, considering United's form, I think it should be a good match. And definitely, I think both the teams would be looking for the win. It matters a lot because United is at 3 points. Atlanta is at 4 out of 2. So they're at 4. All right, correct. So whoever wins actually will have 1 foot in qualifying or, you know, topping the table. So it'll be a good match, I think. And we hope, I think, you know, every time Ole has been under pressure like this, where he's lost around 3-4 matches and everyone's going at him to be sacked, he kind of wins. It doesn't matter who.
So that's 2019 to be talking, to be precise. I mean, we had a disastrous start. United were 15th in the league.
Correct.
And suddenly started winning games. But that is the problem when it comes. Like, you don't even know whether to back the manager that time or whether you don't have to back the manager, because ultimately the silverware counts.
Correct. That's what counts. And there's no point because I think even now they would be qualifying. They would get out of the group. But then once they meet any top flight club, I don't see them going through again. Or, you know, probably they might beat or cause an upset against one of the big teams like they did against Paris. It's like, you know, a one-off tie. But then after that, I think max quarterfinals is the maximum that they can go, quarters. Beyond that, they will not be going ahead, is what I feel. Unless Ronaldo kind of tries to do something. But it's seen that even he is not able to get the players to be motivated enough to play and win. I don't think he has it in him as well to carry the team on all fronts. So, yeah, even if they will probably finish second or even first and go ahead from the group. But then nothing much can be expected in Champions League. You just never know what kind of performance the team will give. They blow hot and cold very much.
Interesting point, because I really would hope for another shirtless celebration, but I don't want a heart attack game where, like, against Villarreal, and I thought we are going to lose that fixture. And suddenly Ronaldo coming and turning it on the head. I mean, I feel, for according to me, United has to start killing games, which is not looking the case right now at all. Like City does, like 4 goals, 5 goals, just thrash the opponent in the first half and just play calm in the second. Just,
you know, actually, Atalanta is actually not up to the mark after the manager.
Baba, if you play a team like Young Boys, can overperform United, a team like, let's say, like Aston Villa, who are not too good, and he was like,
okay. United are 10 men down, man. Come on, you have to give credit. Till they are 11, they are actually good. Mm-hmm. They were about to kill the
bro,
game.
Bro, you tell me one thing. See, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you about the Carabao Cup, what happened against West Ham. And we were playing at home. We were playing at a fantastic side. Okay, Ronaldo was rested. That's fine. Cavani was starting the game. There was Tony Martial, who was playing a decent, fine. He was playing an okay game. And we were playing actually well with Van de Beek in the midfield. The only problem was we conceded and we never capitalized after that. That was the only thing we did. We never scored the goal. That's it. So that is the problem with United. They never capitalized. They never capitalized.
They don't. And also the point that you mentioned about them getting or playing with a man down, you would see for a team of the quality that they have, they are supposed to be playing better. If they are a man down, you're supposed to sit back and not allow goals to go get in and try to, you know, play on the counter very much. Just try to keep possession. An excellent example was Chelsea. When they went a man down against Liverpool, they defended Liverpool. And look at the compactness, look at the discipline that they maintained. Where is that in United? There was no chance a Chelsea or a City or a Liverpool would have lost the game. against a young boys team, even if they were two people down, two players down also, I think the team would have managed against a young boy. No, this
Lokesh, this highlighting to, the highlighting about Chelsea, they managed to draw at Anfield against with a 10 men, with a defender down that too. That what intensity, what intensity they played with. They had full determination. They went all out. They parked the bus. Okay, no doubt Tuchel parked the bus. Usually he doesn't do that, but he literally parked the bus and the result he got out of it, and they, when they were counter-attacking, it was making, they were making it look like Liverpool were 10 men down or 9 men down.
Correct. So that's the level that United are at. And, you know, okay, they're not there at Chelsea's level, but then if you see, Tuchel has done this in 1 year. Ole has been there for almost 3 years now. What is changing? He keeps talking about mentality. We need to start stronger. We need to come back stronger. But it's just like the same old reasons are going on. What has he done in the past 3 years that is reflecting on the team? Where is that mentality? Where is that character of players? Why are they still struggling to, you know, start playing good football or attacking and, you know, finishing off the teams? It still seems like, you know, oh, we'll see what happens. Someone or the other, if they're able to come up with a moment of brilliance like Greenwood did today. If it happens, okay, it's good. And they can kind of win. But then you can't expect a moment of brilliance every match. And after 3 years, you expect your team to do well. Imagine a Jose Mourinho's team, if he has been coaching them for 3 years. No chance he would the team would be losing to young boys. Never.
I just hope we play some decent football and just give our fans something to cheer about and a good game where we'll just say, but I unfortunately will see Fred returning in the midfield, so I don't have any hope.
Yeah, see, today we had no Fred, but still
Matic, but still no Van de Beek. Okay, I will just say if Matic injured, if Pogba is injured, if Bruno's injured, he'll play Phil Jones, but he'll not play Van de Beek.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of saw the Leicester midfield today and I was like, you know, that's where United will lose it today. I felt Somare and Tielemans put in a great performance today. I thought he was very good. The way he covered defensively and he attacked. He had a very good shot which was saved by De Gea as well. If not, it could have been worse.
So anyway, I'll just highlight as there's a Barca fan here. Let me talk about Barca and versus Dynamo Kyiv. I guess there's not much to talk about this Barca, fixture, because Dynamo are a team who's conceded the most amount of goals in the last 5 to 6 years. They've conceded 87 goals. Don't ask me.
You know, Barcelona has to win it if you go by the, you know, teams on the paper and everything. But if Keeman decides to play Pique as a striker, you know, with all the, De Jong as centre back with only crosses coming in, Barcelona is going to lose again.
But bro, you look at Dynamo Kyiv's form. I mean,
man, come
they're
on,
a team man, telling you they've conceded 87 goals. Who scored? Who conceded
that? Seven in the last 5 or 6. If can defeat Real Madrid at Bernabeu, anything can happen. So chill out. I mean, nothing can top that still. So, yeah, anything can happen. Well, I guess Barcelona will try at least now, because considering their chances of staying in CL hangs by a thread now, because a draw won't even suffice any relief to them and their win should be. And yeah, they should actually try to go for the win, considering they'll play again Dynamo Kyiv on match day 4. So, I guess a win now will actually boost their morale and will know how to counter them in the next way around. And 2 wins out of these 2 ties will actually kind of give a relief and they can at least try to fight for the second position, I assume. Right? But yeah, again, if Ronald Koeman thinks that he is the almighty and, you know, gave the club of 130 years a life or, you know, his boon, no one can help Barcelona for sure. So it all depends on Koeman. I mean, whether he had sex or not, or had his favorite food or not. So, yeah.
Good take. I mean, I've never seen a Barca fan literally praying for a win at Camp Nou.
I mean, it's Ronald Koeman, man. I mean, anything can happen. Camp Nou used to be Barca's fortress, you know.
Similar situation.
Juventus, they lost. PSG, they lost. Bayern, they lost. Come on, 3 in a row, first time in history. I mean, recent history, that's something.
Without even conceding, no.
not even scoring.
I mean, without, sorry, what am I saying? Without scoring, yeah.
Yes. Well, I get it. There is no Messi, but dude, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't score. You have other players. That's what the club is for. You have good attackers now. Aguero is back.
It's really the tagline also goes like more than a club.
Yeah, more than a club. This guy thinks he owns the club. Such a pathetic, you know. I don't know the mindset of a manager.
The similar situation as Man United, both the boards and the owners backing the managers, and you don't see it. That just now news pops up. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is completely staying at Man United and not being fired. So it's a very positive, negatively news for Ole out people.
It's like these two managers are showing, you know, what you have to do to not get sacked.
At least Ole is not going against the club. He is calm. You know, at least he tries to be nice. And
he signed players. Yeah, he signed players. He's built up a good squad. Nice. He's making mistakes. See, the problem is the small mistakes are costing us. That is the problem.
Yes.
Match day 3 brings out a very exciting week for all the Champions League lovers. And hope your team wins. And sorry for the ones who loses. I hope Man United is not one of them. So till then, take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers.